Hello everyone, welcome to the Game Engineering Podcast. I'm your host, Łukasz Ściga, and this show is about 3D graphics programming, low-level video game development, where we demystify game engines, rendering pipelines, physics, linear algebra, and all sorts of other obscure parts of game engineering. Sit back and enjoy the show. Last time I was talking about shading techniques in general. Today I'd like to dive into the Phong reflection model a little bit deeper. It will include flat, gros, and Phong shading and different types of light, diffuse, specular, and ambient light. Let's go! Imagine a plastic sphere made of triangles. All of the triangles are equally purple. The ball is not smooth on the edges. You can clearly see the seams between the triangles. It would not make a great ball for basketball, but it's a great ball for my example. Now imagine putting this ball on a desk and shining a white light onto it with a flashlight. Different triangles will have different shades of purple. The brightest will be the ones with the triangles facing the flashlight. The ones that are not directly in the front, but rotated away from the light source, will be darker. You will need to determine the color of a triangle based on its rotation in relation to a light source. For this, you will need two vectors, normal vector and light vector. You may associate a so-called normal vector with each of the triangle. A normal vector for the surface is the vector orthogonal to said surface. If you were to lay a single triangle on the floor and look at it from the above straight down, the normal vector would point from the triangle to your eyes. The second vector is called the light vector. You probably have the idea of a light ray coming from the light source to the triangle. The light vector is exactly the opposite. For the sake of easier computations, light vectors are considered vectors from the triangle to a light source. Now you can measure the angle between said vectors. Often in computer science you don't really need the angle in degrees, but a scalar value that would span from 0 to 1. You might have heard already about the dot product. It's a scalar value defined for two vectors as the product of their lengths and the cosine of the angle between them. So a dot product between two direction vectors, the vectors of the length 1, is a cosine of an angle between them. If two vectors are orthogonal to each other, meaning the angle between them is 90 degrees, the dot product is 0. If they are parallel, the dot product is 1. All of the in-between angles produce the value between 0 and 1. The closer the angle is to 90 degrees, the closer the dot product is to 0. This is exactly what you need to manipulate the color of the purple triangles. The one facing directly the light source should be the brightest. This one have a normal vector and a light vector pointing in the same direction. The angle between them is 0, hence the dot product is 1, so if you multiply the color value by 1, it stays untouched. However, other triangles on the sphere will have similar light vector direction, but normal vectors will be different. The more facing away from the light source a triangle will be, the higher the angle between them, and the lower the dot product will be. If you multiply the color value expressed as a 3D vector by a scalar value lower than 1, you end up shrinking the vector, and for color it means dimming them, darkening them. Let's recap what just happened. You cast the light source on a sphere made of triangles. Each triangle based on the light vector and normal vector determines scalar value, which you then used to multiply the color value. For the triangles facing the light source, it didn't have any effect, but the others were darkened. The higher the angle between light and normal vectors, the darker the final color. Okay, you have now first shading or lighting solution in place. You may wonder, where is the line between shading and lighting? For me, they seem like exactly the same. The definitions I found would claim that shading is the process of preparing the values for the lighting in which the final color is determined. I don't necessarily buy that. It seems like if you want to put an emphasis on the process of determining a color for a given part of the model, you say shading. And if you want to talk about the types of the light sources and similar stuff, you say lighting. Or if you want to sound arcane and smart, instead of lighting, you say illumination. With that in mind, let's name what happened in the purple sphere process with its proper names. For determining a color, you used flat shading, one color per triangle technique. For lighting, or more precisely, diffuse lighting, you used a Lambert model. Let's break it down. Flat shading is one of the three ways used to shade things. It aims to have a single color for a given triangle. This means that the process of determining a color is done on a per triangle level. To end up with models with smooth colors, you need to go deeper. Beside flat shading, there are gros shading and fond shading. The first one has the approach of shading per vertex. Recall how you used one normal per triangle in your sphere. Your 3D models do not have attributes per triangle, but per vertex. Just like you have a position and texture coordinates as two attributes per vertex, you can export normals for the vertices from modeling software. Then, in the vertex shader, you can do the lighting calculations with the dot products and so on, and return color value per vertex. Then, leveraging the interpolation that Rasterizer does, each fragment will receive interpolated color value, just like it receives interpolated position. Et voila, gros shading is done. However, this technique will lead to some disadvantages when it comes to the specular light. And because of it, fond shading was invented. It's a yet another iteration on shading approach, striving to be more detailed than the predecessor. In fond shading, you want to compute the color per fragment instead of per vertex. Remember that for lighting computation, you need a normal vector. Since you only have normal vectors per vertex, you might use the interpolation to pass it to the fragment shader. Then, per fragment, you are free to do all your computation. These were the three shading models: flat shading, gros shading, and fond shading. Now let's take a look at the lighting models. In the most common one, called fond reflection model, you are dealing with three light components: diffuse light, specular light, and ambient light. The first one, diffuse light, you have already calculated for your purple sphere before. You can use any of the multiple techniques available, but the most common one is the Lambertian one. There, based on the angle between the light vector and the normal vector, you modify the base color of the surface. Also, if your light itself had color, you should multiply the result by the light source color. In game engines, when you add light sources, you always have an intensity parameter. This refers to how strong the light is. The intensity is also taken into account while computing the final color value. Summing up, you can multiply the base color by the cosine of the angle, light intensity, and color, and you end up with a diffuse light component. Now the second one, specular light. If you were to look at the objects in our real world, you might see weird light artifacts, especially on the materials that are reflective, metallic. The objects reflect the light. The ultimate example is the mirror. You see fully reflected image in the mirror. But other objects, not that polished as a mirror itself, also act as mirrors. But their materials often do not allow for such a crystal clear projection. Instead, you see bright light artifacts on the rims of an object. To mimic this effect, a specular light component is also computed with the set of operations made on the existing vectors and a few manually adjusted parameters, like specular color or power. With the specular component calculated, the only one left is the ambient light. In real life, you shine a light onto an object. It reflects some of the light forward. All materials do that. Mirrors do that much more than wood, for example, but your wooden desk also helps to make your room a little brighter. These light bounces make surfaces that are not facing the light directly brighter. However, in your fake lighting model, you do not take light bounces into account. Your world has only the diffuse and specular light, and they influence only the object's triangles facing the light source. In order to mimic those secondary light bounces and make the entire scene visible, the ambient light is introduced. This is, in a way, the simplest and the most artificial lighting component. It involves a color and an intensity, the product of which will be added to all of the base colors. This serves as a basis for hundreds of optimizations to make this type of lighting more realistic, but that's a good place to end the fake lighting model overview. Summing up, fake lighting includes three components: diffuse, specular, and ambient lights. If you were to add them, you have surprisingly realistic results. Take a moment to appreciate how many iterations of this fake lighting model and how many optimizations must have happened to achieve the results that were good enough to make 3D games. Since this model is not scientific in a sense that it does not aim to recreate something discovered in nature, it needed thousands of trial and error cycles, checking what works and what doesn't. It was all an exploratory effort to see how far then available machines can mimic the world around us. And on that high note, I'd like to thank you for your time and attention. I am Łukasz Ściga, and this was another episode of the Game Engineering Podcast.